Join me in prayer, please. Lord, we just thank you that you do give us strength, that you lift us up, that you uphold us. And we just come to your word this morning, praying that you would open up our hearts and minds to it, that you would strengthen us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7, starting in verse 23, as we continue our study of Hebrews as well as the seventh chapter this morning. And it reads this way: "Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he," referring to Jesus, "because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever." As you recall, Hebrews chapter 7 has been contrasting the priesthood of Christ to the priesthood of the Old Covenant. Our focal passage this morning has a great contrast in the fact that priests in the Old Covenant didn't last. They were mortal, just like you and me. We discussed this a little bit in our sermon last week, but all the way from the first high priest, Aaron, we see that the high priests of the Old Testament were mortal. Turn with me to Numbers 20, starting in verse 22. And this is regarding Aaron. And it reads, "Now the children of Israel, the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh to Mount Hor. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up to Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them on Eleazar his son, for Aaron shall be gathered to his people and die there. So Moses did just as the Lord commanded, and they went up to Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there on top of the mountain. Then Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. Now when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, all of the house of Israel mourned for Aaron for 30 days. Why were the high priest of old prevented from continuing? Well, the obvious answer is they died. But there's more to that. Why do they die? Well, they died just like you and me. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Ever since the fall of men, we've passed. We all are subjected to that. And here you see Aaron prohibited from going into the promised land, stripped of his priestly garments, in having Eleazar take his place. The priesthood was temporary because men could not serve continually because they were mortal, just like you and me. But I just also touched on something else. Not only were they mortal as far as their longevity is concerned, but they also had moral limitations as well. They weren't perfect. You see where God said that Aaron would not enter into the promised land. As you look at verse 1 of Numbers 20, it gives the account of why Aaron couldn't enter into the promised land. It says, "The children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, 'If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? This is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink.' So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take the rod, and you and your brother Aaron gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock.'" That's important to remember. "Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals." So Moses took the rod before the Lord as he had commanded. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I had given them." Aaron had clay feet, just like you and me. He didn't trust the Lord along with Moses in speaking to the rock. He was disobedient. He struck the rock. And Moses and Aaron were partners in that. And because they did not keep the holiness of the Lord before the people, Aaron was prohibited from entering the promised land. So they had a passing from the high priesthood of Aaron to his son, Eleazar. He wasn't perfect. They were sinners. Priests are like pastors. Pastors are not perfect people. Today we have the cult of personality in American pulpits. Sometimes you'll see people worship pastors. I've heard people tell all of the funny stories their pastors relate in the pulpit, how wonderful their pastor is, how smart their pastor is. You don't hear a lot of conversations about Jesus. You just hear lots of great stories about their pastors. Pastors are sinners, just like the Old Testament priest. We shouldn't have our faith in pastors. We should have our faith in Jesus. But unfortunately, in today's modern time, you see a lot of people, especially in a lot of mega churches, put their faith in their pastors. And I want to give you a couple of examples, and I want to show you what happens when people put their faith in a man versus Jesus Christ. So at the end of 2014, beginning of 2015, Mars Hill Church in Seattle closed its doors after they dismissed their pastor, Mark Driscoll. They had multiple locations, and they were an extremely successful church in the Seattle area. There's some problems in that church that we won't go into, but they were a huge church, and they were all there listening to Mark Driscoll. And Mark Driscoll had some problems in his ministry, and Mark Driscoll was let go by the church elders. And guess what happened to the church? It shut down. It disbanded. It no longer exists. We can see that time after time in large churches across America that have problems when pastors have problems. Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley divorced his wife. Clearly not fitting for the pulpit now. Clearly that's in the Bible, that if you divorce your wife, you shouldn't be in the pulpit. He fought that. He had a lot of people in his church leave. He's still in the pulpit, but he is greatly diminished in his ministry. Robert Schuller died a couple of years ago, and again, you can debate whether that's an actual church based upon the teachings of Robert Schuller. However, Robert Schuller started having problems. He got up in age, and the Crystal Cathedral, that huge building in California, it's not the Crystal Cathedral anymore. The Catholic Church bought it. It's a Catholic church now. His ministry is no longer there. We could get in our car this morning and drive 6 hours to the east, and we could go to Baton Rouge, and we could see all of the huge buildings that Jimmy Swaggart's ministry built. And then Jimmy Swaggart had sexual sin in his life, and the church is just a shell of what it was at the height of his ministry. See, my friends, the church becomes empty because those people weren't there to hear the word and truth and message of Jesus Christ. They had bought into the cult of personality. It has no place in the church. The church is about Jesus Christ. The preaching should be about Jesus Christ. Our focus should be on Jesus Christ. Any man is replaceable. Any man is replaceable. And if people say, oh my goodness, well, what are we going to do if this person or that person leaves? And it's a real problem in mega churches today is you have a mega church pastor that's been there for over a decade, and then all of a sudden you have somebody that comes in and tries to fill his shoes, and you see the population of the church drop immensely. They were there to hear the pastor. They weren't there to worship Jesus Christ. I remember as a kid, even in small churches, but I remember we'd have a pastoral change. And it's sad to say, but after Easter and after Christmas, what's the most attended church service in the life of the pastor? It's that first Sunday he's there. Because all of a sudden, in that first Sunday when the new pastor shows, I remember seeing people that I'd never seen before in my life, thinking, who are these people? Well, they had stopped going to church 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, had not been in church, and all of a sudden the new pastor shows up in town, and everybody that had been on the roll for the last 20 years shows up to hear the new preacher. And it's not surprising that the following Sunday, the attendance is greatly diminished. Because guess what? They probably found something that they didn't like about the new pastor. See, it's a problem. And any pastor that is shepherding his flock correctly should shepherd that flock on the basis of Jesus Christ and not themselves. Because pastors die and pastors change. And I would hope that if I got hit by a bus tomorrow, that people would continue to come to Mill Creek because of their love for Jesus Christ. That's what we should be about. And here you have this picture of Aaron, who is stripped of his robe, and his priestly garment is given to Eleazar, his son. But guess what? Eleazar died too. And it just continues and continues. But my friend, it's not that way with Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ replaced the Old Testament priesthood. And look back at our focal passage in Hebrews 7, starting in verse 25. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. We serve an eternal high priest, one that doesn't go away. But it gets even better. It goes, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Now, this is important. I remember as a kid, people leaving our church. We had at one point a very controversial pastor. But man, he could preach. He was really good at preaching. But sooner or later, he was going to step on your toes in a very bad way. And it wasn't from just preaching the word. He just constantly had the habit of sticking his foot in his mouth. And wonderful, wonderful pastor. But he had that fault. And all of a sudden you went and see a family there. And we'd go visit. Well, why aren't you coming to church anymore? Well, the pastor really hurt my feelings, and so I'm not going to go. Men will disappoint you every time. And if you hang around me long enough, I'm going to say something that's going to hurt your feelings, that's going to step on your toes, or just mainly just aggravate you. You don't have that with Jesus. It says that Jesus is holy. He's harmless. He's undefiled. He's separate from sinners. He's perfect. He's perfect in every way. Imperfect doesn't disappoint. Perfect doesn't let you down. Perfect doesn't aggravate you. It's why we're here, to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Because he's perfect. And he's given us his life to make intercession for us. We're going to talk about this more in more detail next week, but it says he died once and for all when he offered himself up. At the end of verse 28, it says that he has been perfected forever. Now, what does that mean? He's been perfected forever. Does that mean that Jesus Christ came to this earth and was man and somehow worked himself up into deity? There's a false teaching regarding that, and that answer is absolutely no. He was perfect from the beginning. He was all God, all man, from day one. You and I will not be able to completely comprehend that. We have to take that as a step of faith. But he's all God, all man, and he was perfect. So what does that mean, that he was perfected forever? Well, he was perfect in his deity from the day one. But he was perfected forever through his sufferings. It says that in Hebrews 2:10. That he was perfected in his sufferings. In other words, he came and he lived this life as a man. He was humiliated, right? He was accused of many things. He endured suffering. He endured all of the horrible things that all of the world threw at him, but yet he remained perfect in his humanness. He was perfected forever. He was perfect as God. He was perfect as man. He never sinned. And because he never sinned, he was the perfect sacrifice when he gave his life for you and me on the cross, and he died once and for all. Once. He's our perfect sacrifice. He's our perfect high priest. And as the verse says, that right now he is in heaven making intercession for you and me. Right now. Because as I mentioned last week, the Bible says that the devil is the accuser. And day and night he stands before the throne accusing us before God. And you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have the blood covering of Jesus. And we are justified before him. And God sees us with the perfection of Jesus Christ. See, he's our perfect high priest. He never goes away. He never disappoints. He is truly perfect. I can only imagine how Aaron must have felt as he's standing on top of Mount Hor, after not being obedient to God's word and having those priestly garments taken off of him and given to his son. It must have been greatly disappointing that he was not faithful to the end. As we look at Aaron and all of the wonderful things that he did, we have to realize that, as with all men, we're all flawed. We're all sinners. We're all incapable of living that perfect life. As pastors, you are incapable of having an absolute perfect ministry. But pastors don't serve as priests. See, we're God's spokesperson. We are to proclaim the truth, but we're not offering up sacrifices. Only Jesus does that. And I want you to turn with me to Revelation 1, starting in verse 12. And as we look at Revelation, John is on the Isle of Patmos. And as we look at verse 12, and in fact, let's start with verse 9. John says, "I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud cloud of a trumpet saying, 'I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. In what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea.' Then I," this is John again, "turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this.'" As John saw Jesus, he fell down as a dead man as he saw his appearance. And the reason why I read that particular verse is that he said that he was clothed with a garment to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. What is that? That's the robe of a high priest, my friends. Because, see, he's our eternal high priest. So as John saw Jesus Christ, he saw him in the robe of a high priest, because he still is in that role today for you and me. He's still wearing the robe. He's still interceding. He is continuing in that office for us. He is alive forever. And I want to point something out about this. When you think about the tabernacle in the Old Testament system, in the tabernacle, who could only go in? Only the high priest, right? Only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could go in and experience that. But there you see John seeing Jesus in his high priest garments, and he fell down as if he were dead. And what did Jesus Christ say? "Do not be afraid." Why is that? John did not have to be afraid because Jesus Christ offered himself up once and for all in the holy righteous wrath that was meant for you and me was laid upon Jesus Christ upon the cross. He satisfied the wrath of God. Therefore, Jesus could look at him, could touch him, and say, "Do not be afraid, because Jesus Christ took that wrath away for you and me, because He is our perfect high priest." Would you please stand with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you a question this morning. Are you serving your high priest? Do you have joy of your salvation in your life? Is He your Lord? Is He your King? Are you serving Him? Or are you serving self? Is it your agenda or God's agenda? My friends, we have a high priest right now interceding for us. And He wants you to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And maybe at some point in your life, you've gotten off track as a believer. And you started living a life of cheap grace, thinking that you can do whatever you want. And you're not really serving Jesus as Lord of your life. And if He's not in control right now, if He's not driving the agenda, if you're not following Him, if you're not exalting Him on a daily basis, just right where you are, just recommit your life to Jesus Christ. Make sure that you can truly call Him Lord, that you're living your life as if He is your Lord. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart. You've never asked Him for forgiveness of sins. You've never repented, which means that you're going to have to turn from the things of your life and you're going to have to turn to the things of God. If you've never done that, just right where you are, ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord. Ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him to rule your life. Give Him everything that you've got. And you'll begin life anew. Our Father, I just thank You, Lord. I thank You that You have given us life through Jesus Christ. I thank You that Jesus Christ is our eternal high priest, that He stands right now in the court of heaven interceding for us, that we have access to Your throne, that we can approach You with all boldness. And I pray, Lord, that it's something that would bring us joy in our life and that we'd be so joyful about it that we'd proclaim it to other people. I pray, Lord, that if someone needs to make a decision today, that they would, that they'd either recommit their life to You, or if they don't know You, that they'd become a Christian today and begin life anew. We just give You all the glory and all the praise and all things. In Jesus' name, amen.